Blog Talk Radio.
I can only see the number of people out there being like, what's going on?
First and goal. Mahomes swings at you.
It's there! Open! Jackpot, Kansas City! And this is the Andy Reid special. This is the Andy Reid special. We talked about him saving all day. He's going to fake a motion to go across. And at that moment, he turns and goes back. Hartman, who they didn't have, right?
And they win it by three on this touchdown throw to Mecole Hardman, who started the season as a Jets.
Jim, I want you to know this was an incredible call. What they did.
Stand up for the champions. Chiefs has won the Super Bowl. They had a 10-point deficit. And congratulations to them. They overcame a 10-point deficit to become the first back-to-back Super Bowl champion in two decades as they defeated the San Francisco 49ers 25-22 in overtime at Super Bowl 58 in Las Vegas. Welcome to Big Show. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening. This is Lori Pickup from Michigan. I hope everyone is doing well in this busy news evening.
Yes, yes. And congratulations to Mahomes. He has now three Super Bowl MVPs, and he has at least a decade left in his game. He's still a young man and everything. So the dynasty begins, and they're talking about in Kansas City, you know, possibly a three-peat. So no team has ever done that, so let's see if the Kansas City Chiefs can do it. And I cannot imagine how many TVs were destroyed in San Francisco last night after they had a 10-point lead and they botched it, botched it, and, you know, Kansas City come back and everything. But what I'm so, you know, happy about is that Chiefs won, and it's driving the right-wing MAGA idiots through the roof, you know. So, you know, that's a win right there for our side, and I'm happy about that because, you know, the madness needs to stop. These right-wingers, they're conspiratory about everything, you know. They're saying, oh, you know, Joe Biden, and the NFL setting up for the Kansas City Chiefs to win because of conspiracy. And I know it wasn't. It's just that a better team won, or they had a better game plan and everything. So you should get off your high horses. And it was the same people who said, oh, because Kaepernick, Colin Kaepernick knelt, that they wouldn't watch NFL again. But now, since Taylor Swift got to support her boyfriend, it's a big deal now. So she's just been to only 13 games, you know, so there's no distraction. You know, other wives and girlfriends come to support, you know, their husbands and boyfriends or whoever else when they're playing in the mm-hmm. NFL. So, you know, there's much better things to worry about than, you know, mm-hmm. saying that, you know, the NFL planned this out and what have you. Yeah, so mm-hmm. they should stop. It's not becoming of them. You know, so what do you think about, you know, what happened last night? I saw the last 5 minutes of the game, really. Before I went to bed last night. I wasn't feeling too well.
Yeah, you know, I'll be honest. That game, and I'm really not into football that much. I mean, I got hooked on the Lions again because of the great season they had. And so I did want to watch this game. We did watch it, you know, with some friends, et cetera. But it was kind of boring. And like I said, I'm not a real football fan, so I didn't know, you know, what was going on, but I wasn't the one that was making the comments. It was, you know, the other ones that were watching that are really football fans that thought it was just slow moving, underwhelming football game. They wanted to see a little more action and, you know, traction. However, you know, faster going pace game, but it wasn't. The ending was good. They did get to win. They showed, of course, every time, you know, they showed Taylor Swift. And, you know, I'll be honest, last night, you know, all they did was maybe a shot if Kelsey, you know, made a play, it would be over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it was not like they were paying a lot of attention to her last night. They really were not.
Mm-hmm.
And and the other positive thing that came out of the football season this year is that a lot of women and a lot of young girls are more of them are going to the games because I think she's turned it into a positive atmosphere. And, you know, so it's been a win-win all the way around. A lot of excitement, you know, a lot of gear sold. They said that this week, the week of the Super Bowl, about $16 billion, you know, of revenue was sold. You know, that's including, you know, tickets and airlines and food and drink and everything else that, you know, goes along with it. But that's a lot of money into the economy, $16 billion. So, you know, we have to understand that this was a positive thing. There was nothing negative about the game. There weren't any fights. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of cheering. I think that the stands were kind of quiet, you know, but they did at the end, you know, they came back and they won the game. And, you know, it was good. It was a positive thing. So, you know, Trump can just take it and shove it and the rest of the right wing can, you know, be as negative as they want. But, you know, Taylor Swift, in her own way, turned this football into a positive thing for the season. That's all I can say about it.
Yes. Yeah, man. So San Francisco, they did well, and we'll have to congratulate them as well. And at least they're not, you know, throwing a tantrum like man-child Trump, saying that it was fixed or, you know, the NFL had it in for them. They were polite, they were decent, they were respectful, and give use where dues were get, you know, give due respect to the champions and everything. So, you know. A lot of props to that and everything, you know, because Republicans tried to politicize the game. You know, the NFL wasn't about that or anything, you know.
No.
So speaking of Trump, you know, the idiot. He was saying that there's no way Taylor Swift will endorse Joe Biden. But before that, Congresswoman Claudia Tenney, Republican from New York, is calling on Attorney General Merrick Garland to invoke the 25th Amendment to remove Joe Biden from office after Special Counsel Robert Hur report said that while the president should not be prosecuted for mishandling classified documents, he does have a poor memory. So, you know, Republicans and Trump especially want to say, hey, Joe Biden is senile and, you know, he doesn't have his wits about him. And they're just 3 years apart. And who is more dim-witted and can't put two sentences together? Donald Trump, he's worse. You know, so in a letter to Garland Thursday, Congresswoman Tenney, a Republican from New York, expressed her grave concerns about Hur's findings. She said that Hur's reasoning for not bringing charges against Biden, even though the president knowingly and willfully removed, mishandled, and disclosed classified documents over a period of decades, were alarming. And that's not true, because when Joe Biden left office as vice president, he trusted the staff to pack stuff for him so they could move out of the White House and move out of the vice presidential residence. You know, so as soon as Joe Biden and his immediate staff found out of the mishap, they contacted the Justice Department. The Justice Department went to pick up the documents that were classified, and that was the end of that. Now, the reason why Trump is being prosecuted for documents is because he willingly knew exactly what he was doing when he took over 100 boxes of classified documents that said top secret, you know, and the Justice Department said, here, what, that don't belong to you, that belongs to the government and the people of the United States. And then, you know, the whole rigmarole where Donald Trump said, oh, no, I'm the president, I can't do anything. And the way he was irresponsible, he put it in bathrooms and then the shower, and, you know, there was no key so anybody could go in there and, you know, take out any secrets and everything. So the thing about it is reality winner worked for the Pentagon for a couple of years, and she just lifted one single page to give to the WikiLeaks, and to spend a whole 7 years in prison, 2 years for awaiting our trial, and 5 years after being found guilty, you know, of espionage. Imagine 7 years for one single paper. So over 100 boxes were stolen by Donald Trump willingly and knowingly. And unlike Biden, he didn't give it back willfully. The FBI had to raid his Mar-a-Lago, you know, call to get them back. You know, and so he is claiming presidential immunity, which the judge slapped down. And, you know, he's just going on and on about how's a witch hunt and everything. So, you know, his his whole attitude, you know, acting like a spoiled child and wanting to have his own way, it's not going to work. It's not flying in the electorate. And Hur said that the president's practices had presented serious risk to national security and described in his report several instances of the president suffering from memory loss. So he added that part of the reason he didn't pursue charges against Joe Biden was because the president could portray himself as an elder man with poor memory who would be sympathetic to a jury. So now the special prosecutor, you know, he's an idiot, you know, and Congresswoman Tenney criticized the reasoning in her letter to Garland. And I quote, we don't prosecute other kinds of prosecute people based on their personality or the public's anticipation or anticipated perception of them. If special counsel finds that evidence forms a reasonable basis to bring charges, he must do so, end quote. So Republicans can't beat Joe Biden and Democrats on policy. They can't beat them on the successes that Joe Biden and Democrats have done. So they're going after, you know, the drawing at straws, basically. And Tenney compared Hur's decision in his investigation of Biden to Special Counsel Jack Smith bringing charges against former President Donald Trump for his handling of classified documents at Mar-a-Lago. So the Department of Justice cannot ethically bring charges against Trump because he has mental acuity and a forceful personality, while declining to bring charges against Biden because of his cognitive decline. That's what a Congresswoman Tenney from New York was saying. You know, so she shouldn't be talking about cognitive decline because Trump, the speak out of his ass, and don't know what he's talking about and ramble for 2-3 hours at these Nazi-like rallies he has around the country and everything. And it really needs to stop. A judge needs to put him in jail because he's disobeying orders from the judges in different cases. And Eileen Connor, or Eileen, what's her name, that judge in Florida? Eileen.
Cannon.
Yeah, Cannon. She keep going on and trying to delay until election day is here and possible Trump win. And so he can pardon himself, you know. On state charges, yes. For federal charges, no. So it's going to put us in a constitutional crisis and everything. And we know how the Supreme Court works. 5 conservative-leaning judges compared to 4, you know, liberal, progressive judges. You know, so it's all skewed. The system is a two-tier justice system. Because when you compare Rad to what she did to what Donald Trump did, who should get more punishment? Who should know better? Donald Trump, and he has over 100 boxes of classified documents, some of them missing. If that were a regular person, I'd be thrown in prison for life at hard labor. So I don't want anybody to call in here today saying, oh, you know, Joe Biden getting special treatment, blah, blah, blah. Have many seats, shut the hell up, and let's discuss it on a rational level, because Joe Biden don't deserve any disrespect, because he did the right thing. And I saw the video we're talking about last show where the media came on him heavily, and when Trump was in there being his garbage, the mother cuddled him and let him get away with all sorts of crap. You know, so come on, America, do better than that, especially in the media. I don't know if it's ratings or chasing, but the nonsense is just absolutely astounding. So we'll take a call soon, 515-605-9802. This is Kitchen Politics 123. And who else enjoy watching the right-wing blowhards lose their collective senses and being intimidated by strong, independent women? Like Taylor Swift, she isn't trying with those losers. She just kind of walk in, wave her hand, the crowd goes wild, and they lose their mind. So she got under Trump's skin so badly and claims that he has made her lots of money and made her world famous. But as time goes by, it's very obvious that Donald Trump has become unhinged and he has lost his mind, basically. So, you know, when you call in, how was your Super Bowl, if you watched it? And what did you think of the game? And, you know, we took a break because it was a Super Bowl, so we're back on air now and everything. We'd love to hear from everybody. Yeah. Remember, visit our website, kitchenpolitics123.com. And we're going to talk about also, is the American dream dead, or was it always a fantasy figment of the imagination? Should age really matter in politics? How do you feel, or how do you think the Supreme Court will rule on Trump versus Smith, read argument on 14th Amendment Clause 3, and putting him back on the Colorado presidential ballot? A useful idiot, Tucker Carlson interviewed the Russian President Vladimir Putin with softball questions to make him look good and everything. So what are your thoughts on that if you saw it? And, you know, we can talk about another thing that you'd want to talk about because you're here for the next 2 hours and everything. And we're going to get cracking. So you have anything else to say, Laurie, before we, you know, put people online?
Thank you. Yes, thank you. First of all, I wanted to go back to the Taylor Swift thing because I really feel that Trump is he is very threatened by the thought of her having so much influence on the population in the country, and, you know, getting all those young people to register. He hasn't forgotten it. And so over the weekend, he went on his Truth Social, and he said this, and I quote, "I signed and was responsible for the Music Modernization Act for Taylor Swift and all the musical artists. Joe Biden didn't do anything for Taylor and never will." Trump Social on Sunday, like I said, "There's no way she could endorse crooked Joe Biden, the worst, most corrupt president in the history of our country, and be disloyal to the man who made her so much money. He went on to say, besides that, I like her boyfriend, Travis. He thought that he may be a liberal, even though he may be a liberal and probably can't stand me, in reference to Kansas City Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce, who is dating Swift. Trump was referencing a bill he signed in 2018 that dealt with the copyright issues that was seen as a landmark bill for the music industry. Questions surrounding Swift's potential involvement in politics were sparked last month after the New York Times released a report that Biden's aide are vying for the support of Shake It Off singer as the campaign centers its focus on November's general election. So the thing is that if she is a Democrat, if she is a progressive, if he is a progressive, and, you know, Joe Biden is running for president and Kamala Harris is running for vice president, and that's who they want to vote for. That's who they want, just the public as they want. They can say it every single day. She can tweet it out. She can go on her Instagram. She can go on TikTok. She can do whatever she wants to do. That is her First Amendment right to speech. Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. So he's intimidated by that. He knows it. He was trying to sweet talk her in that, saying that it was because of him. That's a bunch of bullshit. This girl has worked her butt off to get where she is. Mm-hmm. And she is smart. Exactly. She's intelligent. She is articulate. She knows her stuff. And she has been through a lot. She's been stalked. You name it. She's been through it. And So what if she likes our president? Mm-hmm. That is none of his damn business. He has to just worry about himself. And so for that, I give her kudos. I really do. Mm-hmm. And who knows if she will support him, you know, she will support him, but who knows if she'll make a statement about it. You know, maybe she doesn't want that kind of public pressure, you know, and that is her decision either way. But we all know how she thinks, and she's open-minded. She's progressive. She's a liberal. She's a Democrat. Bottom line. So
yes, and the thing about it though, instead of Republicans, you know, not worrying about this, we kind of have no control of what Taylor Swift does or says. She has so much influence. In the 4 years that Ivanka Trump and her husband Jared Kushner was in the White House, working in the White House, mind you, they didn't get a clearance from the Pentagon. Mm-hmm. In the 4 years, they made $640 million. In outside income. And rule, the law said that when you're working for the White House or anywhere in government, you cannot have outside businesses running. It's a conflict of interest. And why not investigate the $2 billion that Saudi Arabia gave to Jared Kushner? You know, on this laptop thing about Hunter Biden, if there are any case against Hunter Biden, it will be forward by now, and they want them to pacify behind closed doors so they can, you know, basically jumble whole waters and muddled whole waters, saying that, you know, he is deceitful and arrogant and this and that. And Hunter Biden came there twice on Capitol Hill saying, hey, I'm here now. I can testify, but I'm testifying publicly. You know, so these Republicans, they can't run on the issues. They don't have a policy plan. They don't have a plan. The only plan they have is, you know, giving more tax cuts to the wealthy. You know, so it's going to be interesting the next 9 months. We've got 9 months away from the election, and I hope America's paying attention from now, because time is running out. Once Super Tuesday hit the ground running, then that's when the election season officially starts, because this is for democracy. And if we don't take it seriously and take it lightly, we could lose this democracy. And when Trump is in there, he believes he's entitled. And he wants to change the system, get rid of the Constitution and what have you all know. And he's not even going to win the presidency. Let's just put it out, you know, in the universe that he's not going to win. He's going to be in jail before that. So, again, 515-605-9802, say your first name, where you're calling from. And please, no background noises. If so, then you just cut you off, because, you know, it's a bad feed. back, and it just distracts everybody. So welcome to the show. What's cooking tonight?
It's Kalia. I'm doing pretty good. I was basically talking to, forgot who I was talking to. I was talking to someone about Trump. And I was talking about how a lot of the people that voted for Trump and voted for him, some of them voted for him based off of the fact that they only cared about their rights. They didn't care about anybody else's rights.
Well, of course.
I don't know if I told you about the gun control thing. I talked about it, but I don't know if I got into, I don't know if I told you that they had basically voted for Trump because they supported, you know, they supported the ban against gun control.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, that's why I was telling people that's why they voted for him. But, yeah, I mean, also, I got – one of the guys that pissed me off was Charlie Kirk. You know him?
Yeah, Charlie Kirk from USA, some group. I know who Charlie Kirk is, yeah. He's a racist piece of garbage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's definite because basically – anytime you talk against Martin Luther King Jr., because that's basically what he did, you're talking against someone, you're basically, you have no leg to stand on, because not only were you talking against Martin Luther King, but also Martin Luther King was much more than a civil rights leader. He wanted us to love our enemies, and that wasn't, and, you know, he wasn't against white people, but that wasn't good enough for Charlie Kirk. And that just shows a lot of these racist people want you to be a black person to bend over backwards. Anytime you go against Martin Luther King, it just shows who you are. Because he even said he would have, you know, Ben Carson and all of them are the ones that black people should be idolizing. And I'm like, basically, you only want people to... I was saying about Charlie Kirk, and he only wanted people to idolize people that bent over backwards for racist white people.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing is, Charlie Kirk is from Turning Point USA. And, you know, that organization is a joke. You know, it attracts rednecks, the boomer generation who voted for Reagan back in 1980. The Christian, evangelical, crystal fascist people, and QAnon types, you know. So he appeals to those type of people who don't have any critical thinking, and is like a slash and burn method by them, where it's my way or the highway, and if we don't get our own way, we start burning and looting and having insurrection and what have you, you know. So, I mean, it's going to backfire big time on them, because the Republican Party of today, the appeal to the dregs, the lowest common denominator in America. You know, we, the individual people out there who have education, have some sort of critical thinking, you know, we'll outnumber them. You know, it's not the loudest bark that win elections, but actual people who come together and vote and build coalitions and everything. And what Donald Trump has is not a coalition, you know, it's just evangelicals and all sorts of conspiracy theory group and white nationalists and the so-called Christian evangelical, you know. And you know, Joe Biden has the backing of Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, two of the most experienced, you know, electioneers in the 21st century in America. And when you say you want to stick the message, you know, Joe Biden has been doing that. The only thing that they've not been doing a good job of is going out there and saying what they did and what they plan to do once reelected. And the media is also, you know, part of that problem where, you know, Joe Biden could do 10 good things for the day, what to focus in on Donald Trump is that they haven't learned from 2016 when they give him so much free airtime to say his nonsense. Let's give him more, you know, more airtime, more energy and everything. The best kept secret in this administration is Kamala Harris, the vice president, because she's been doing a great job as vice president. And, you know, people asking, what has her role been? Where has she been? But she's been doing things, you know. She's talking about women's rights and right to choose and education and all sorts of different stuff. But the media just don't report it. And the DNC has been, has done a real bad job in promoting what she's done around the country, you know. So I hope they get the acts together. And it really, 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 you know, made me happy to hear that Rona Romney McDaniel is stepping down as RNC chair, because $50 million that they raised over the years has gone into, you know, defending Donald Trump and paying lawyers and what have you and appealing rulings. And so the Republican Party is down to the last $50 million compared to Democrats, which, you know, is near $100 million in war chests for 2024. You know, so they continue to, like, you know, basically cannibalize themselves and all this inner fighting, you know, between the different wings of the party who want control and everything. But basically, it's Donald Trump's party now, and there's no coming back. Because once the election is in full gear, when Super Tuesday and thereafter happen, then we'll see who the real Donald Trump is. And the people that stand for his foolishness. And Joe Biden, I can predict him now, even though a week is a lifetime in politics, I can see Joe Biden winning that landslide.
You know, the thing is, over the weekend, the Orange Man was in South Carolina, and he did a rally there. And they talked about it ever since, because I watched the snippet of it, and he was basically wetting his makeup was brown. It wasn't really orange anymore, so I don't know what I should call him. He was off the chain, and he went on to say that that he was talking to NATO, somebody in NATO. He didn't say who it was, but he said that that if they did not pay, they have to pay a certain amount to stay into NATO of their GDP. So he said that he told someone in NATO, he never named a name, he said, you didn't pay, you're delinquent. And they went on to say, no, I will not protect. In fact, I will encourage them to do whatever the hell they want. You've got to pay. You've got to pay the bills. The White House said that Trump's latest comments were appalling and unhinged. And then he also said that he would let Putin do whatever the hell he wants. In other words, you know, have at it. You know, start World War III. You know, do whatever you want, Putin, and it'll be okay. That's basically what he said over the weekend. And that has drawn a lot of attention. It has drawn a lot of speculation of what the hell is America doing? What the hell is America? Why is America allowing a lunatic like this in the airwaves hot like that? Because, and the thing is, he is unhinged. Because he is afraid. So my theory, and this is my theory, Tucker Carlson has gone over to Russia. He did an interview supposedly with Putin. Well, he did. He did an interview with Putin. But that part, okay, because eventually we may not see it. You know, it could be all changed and reworded, however you want to put it. But what does bother me is that they must have spoken in private. That is my guess. Wondering, did Trump tell Tucker Carlson to give him certain messages, to talk about certain things, to ask certain questions. And is Tucker Carlson looking for the VP spot? You know, this really bothers me because I truly believe that Tucker Carlson is a piece of dirt. He's as bad as Trump, if not worse, because I think he's a little more intelligent when he speaks. But to me, that was definitely him going there, speaking to Putin, and I haven't heard the conversation. I haven't heard the interview, but I really think that it was basically very un-American of him to do.
Oh, yeah.
That's my opinion.
My opinion on Tucker Carlson, he's shit. He's always been shit ever since CNN Crossfires. And he continues to be shit. You know, anybody who would listen to him and even, you know, take him.
Go ahead.
Anybody who would listen to Tucker Carlson is a bigger moron like him. You know, so, you know, he's just in it for ratings, for money, what have you. And, you know, money talks and everybody else is secondary. That's what he cares about. And remember when he worked for Fox News, he did send internal emails how much he hated Donald Trump and everything. So it's one hand wash the other, where you promote my crap and you promote Kremlin crap just to get money and views and clicks and likes. You know, and then maybe, you know, depending on how, you know, you gauge your popularity, I could choose you for vice president, which Tucker Carlson has no political experience in, as a reward for being loyal to him.
You know, and I feel that America is at a point right now, Trump's followers are at a point right now, that they would go and they would support somebody like Tucker Carlson. I'm sorry, because they also did a poll, and they asked, you know, do you care about your democracy? They don't even know what their democracy is. They don't even understand that they live in a democracy. They don't even understand what would be taken away from them. That's the problem. So for that reason, I say it's dangerous for him to go there and talk to him. And then, you know, even for Trump to tell I would bet my last dollar that he told Trump what to say to him. I just feel my bones. And, yes, and they're both out for themselves. Of course they're out for themselves. Every one of these goofy MAGA Republicans in the House are out for themselves. That's been obvious. But the American people have been at their beck and call because I don't see anything good coming out of this. I really don't. Now, why hasn't the media talked about how horrible it is for Tucker Carlson to go over there and speak to Putin, who is our enemy, who is killing people in Ukraine for how long now? How long? I mean, it's sickening.
Excuse me.
And was that Doris, was that you on the phone? Was that you, Doris? Or Elaine?
Sorry. No, it wasn't. No, it's Khalil. Sorry about that. I'm sorry for cutting you off.
Oh, okay, go ahead. I wasn't sure who I heard. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, so we'll have Elaine and Doris calling in now from Michigan. Hello, Elaine and Doris. Welcome to the show. What's cooking?
Good evening, everybody. This is Christian liberal Elaine from Michigan. I would like to talk about the Super Bowl. I think the TV coverage of the people in the expensive VIP boxes was equally done. There was pictures of people, ladies with long hair, pretty ladies, lots of jewelry. When San Francisco was ahead, they were showing those ladies jumping up and down and hugging. And then the same coverage was when Taylor Swift was with her girlfriends and relatives, whatever, and they were hugging and jumping up and down. They were happy. I think Usher had a very marvelous show. I don't really like that particular type of music, but I loved the choreographing. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Roller skates and costumes and mm-hmm. people, some of the acrobats that were jumping on and off the stage and the band, I thought it was a very good halftime show.
Mm-hmm.
And then now I want to jump in a Tucker Carlson. You sparked something
mm-hmm.
with me, Lori.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty ironic. And I don't like to do theories either, but I've been trying to connect the dots. It's kind of a coincidence. Tucker Carlson goes over to Russia,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden Trump tells his boys,
mm-hmm.
You don't vote for anything. That bill that you wrote, scrap it.
Mm-hmm.
Scrap
yep.
the border bill. Scrap anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just scrap it all. Now, that's
yep.
too much of a coincidence. Tucker Carlson is over there doing foot jobs, hand jives, whatever, with Putin. And then now all of a sudden the Republicans decide to completely do nothing. Usually they pass a few things towards the end of, you know, near the election so they can thump their chests.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's a theory, Lori. Not
mm-hmm.
when two people connect the dots.
No, it. I'm sorry. I mean, this is all my view. I mean, I've not really spoken to anybody about it, but this is how I think. I truly believe. And why did he bring up NATO on Saturday? You know, why did he say that Putin could do anything that he wants? I mean, he
mm-hmm.
did say that. He said
yeah.
it.
Well, see, what's that noise? God.
I don't know.
Wait, hold on. If anybody have the radios on or anything in the background last time, turn it off. Go ahead, Elaine.
Okay. You know, it's too much of a coincidence. The dots
mm-hmm.
are being connected pretty darn
mm-hmm.
fast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he goes
mm-hmm.
over to
mm-hmm.
Russia. And all of a sudden,
mm-hmm.
Trump is talking about NATO. Trump is talking
yeah.
about Russia can do what the hell they want.
Yeah.
We know Russia does not want Ukraine to win. Russia wants to walk
mm-hmm.
all over
mm-hmm.
Europe. And then from
mm-hmm.
Europe, they're going to come over here. And then you interview some of these Trumpies. And one
yep.
idiot guy said, well, maybe this country it's time for a dictator. What the
mm-hmm.
hell have they got in their head? Mush.
Mm-hmm.
Elaine, what I think is, and this is, like I said, because I think about these things, because I'm kind of goofy that way, but these people have always lived in a democracy from the day they were born until today. Let's put it that way. They don't know any other kind of life. These are the kind of people that live in a bubble. They're not too smart. They're not, you know, they're not that bright. They probably don't know their history, you know, and they can be, you know, fooled quite easily. And when they hear, you know, Trump is going to take over and, you know, tell the whole country what to do and it's going to be great again, that's what they think. They have no clue whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And based
off history, when a dictator comes in, dictators usually the first thing they go after. We saw it with Stalin. We saw it with the Pol Pot. We saw it with German Mao in China.
Mm-hmm.
We saw it with a different communist, Cuba, with Fidel Castro. When a dictator comes in, the first thing he goes after is people's guns. Because without guns, then you can't have an uprising or revolt. So these people
yeah.
fail to realize, because they don't know history, that if a dictator comes in and use the armed services against the people and confiscate guns, within days
mm-hmm.
they could get all the guns, run up all the guns in the United States, and there's not a damn thing anybody could do about it. So, you know,
no.
be careful what you wish for, MAGA America, because Donald Trump is a lunatic. He is ignorant. He has no set policies on different things. The guy's just Lord and Pond scum, basically. He takes his direction from Vladimir Putin and the Kremlin. And as,
mm-hmm.
you know, Tucker Carlson, when he interviewed him, he wanted to put a good face on Putin and everything. You know, so...
Well,
And the thing is, the infiltration by Russia has been at it since 1947, when the Cold War started. Stalin, you know, wanted Adlai Stevens, who ran against Ike two times, 1952 and 1956. And remember, Ike and Adlai Stevenson politically hated each other, but it took a lot for a man like Adlai Stevenson to got to the commander-in-chief, Ike, a Republican, to say, here what? You know, KGB approach was saying they give him X amount of money, and me as a presidential candidate, get knowing all these secrets just in case I become president, they want me to say what the Americans are doing. You know, but with Donald Trump, it's totally opposite, where, you know, because Putin has so many dirt on him and his family, he's doing Putin's bidding. You know, and in Miami, there's a thing where when Trump was there, from 2015, it's probably going on to this day, where Russian women coming in and having the children on Mar-a-Lago property. So obviously they're Americans, and they pay them good money to have these babies on property. So they're naturalized American citizens. And they go back to Russia. So in 18, 19, 20 years, they come back and say, hey, you know, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm a this and that. So further infiltration by Russians inside the American system, you know, just to collapse it. Because remember, the former Soviet Union, since Stalin days, has been trying to get at it from 1947 till now. And because of this idiot, this moron, buffoon, like Trump, you know, he's going to cause the downfall of America. And we've seen it start to happen already. You know, so
you know,
that's a prime example.
Something else going on right now that's got me really, really thinking and trying to figure out which dot I'm going to connect next. And that's what's going on in the court at Mar-a-Lago with Judge Cannon.
Yes.
The attorneys want to know what the documents say. That's horseshit. All they need to know is he took them. They're classified, period. They do not need to read them. They do not need to know what's in them.
And the other
period. But they were in court today, from what I understand, arguing, and Cannon is listening to the arguments, that they want to be able to sit down and read them. That's total horseshit.
Not only that, Elaine, they want names and addresses to be published. They want that as well.
Published of who?
That's what she wants.
You mean the people on the jury?
No, not on the jury. The people that are going to testify against Trump. She wants their names and their addresses and their phone numbers to be publicized. She said that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think that is going to get the 11th Circuit Court after her, because it's very obvious. I mean, I'm not a lawyer. You guys aren't lawyers. None of us are lawyers. And I know, I mean, you can tell she's just listening to what Trump wants her to do. And don't forget, in that case, he had people that were working for him at Mar-a-Lago that actually moved the documents, you know, and all of that. So if they can get that information where, you know, they're going to testify, absolutely, their lives will be in danger. In danger.
Well, we've taken mobsters, drug dealers, and we've taken them to court, and we make sure that the identity of the people that are going to testify are not given out, and we're going to do this kind of bullshit. I think it's time for the public to start speaking out.
You know, yes, they're protected. You know, you're always protected as a witness. You know, that's how it's always been. And no, it's very obvious that she is just doing this because she owes Trump. That's it. She's not thinking about anything else. You know.
Yeah, she's not professional, and she's not even having experience for the job. She's just stupid.
No.
She's just a Trump stooge. And Trump stooges, they want to, like, get rid of the civil service and put in their yes men and yes women.
Right.
And so it just really collapsed the whole institutions, like Justice Department.
Right.
You know, so it's all nonsense. And they have no idea what they're doing. They don't know how to govern.
The thing is that it's dangerous. You know, those documents, those secret documents are out there. And, you know, President Biden, he did say when he spoke the other night, he did say that all the documents that he had, none of them had a red flag on them.
Mm-hmm.
The ones secret and top secret have red flags on them. He said nothing
mm-hmm.
that he had a red flag on it. So, you know, not have things that were top secret like this monster has, this jerk. He still has them all. And who knows what he's given to whom and who has
mm-hmm.
what secrets. We still do not know.
And keep in mind to that some of the files are missing that said top secret, you know.
Exactly.
So did he hand it over to Russia or China or North Korea?
Right.
You know, he's been on tape recording saying that, oh, you know, the CIA is doing this, the FBI is doing that, going after this person who could have invaded Iran, blah, blah, blah. Just spilling the secrets. And this top diplomat from Australia, he was talking about some submarine and the capabilities of that submarine. Remember, this guy is just from Australia, a regular guy who have no security clearance. Why are you bragging in front of a room about the secrets of the United States? A regular person would have been in jail awaiting trial and got spent years in prison for what Donald Trump did. But what we'll have is that we're just petting him and mollycoddling him, and he can just do or say anything he wants without any repercussions or no accountability. You know, and that has to stop. We need a judge, you know, to throw him in jail, to teach him some manners and some lessons. Say, hey, even though you're president, you have respect for the rule of law, and when we tell you to shut your mouth, you shut your mouth. You know, but Donald Trump lives by his own rules, you know? So I wish he'd just choke on a chicken bone and die. But anyway, 515-605-9802, say your first name, where you're calling from. All background noise is off or you'll be hung up on. Hello, welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's up?
This is Doris. I just wanted to say, I listened to all that. Hi. I wasn't here last
mm-hmm.
night because I was at my granddaughter and I didn't see the ball game. So,
mm-hmm.
I had to take her home. But anyway, when they're talking about one thing Donald Trump does that's very clear to me is he makes up stories so that he can respond to him in what he wants to make a point when it's a made-up story. Like when he said
mm-hmm.
that I had somebody in NATO or something like that who asked me, you know, sir. He says it, sir, because, you know, you start talking to him, so obviously he's going to consider himself sir, that if we don't pay our, whatever money in NATO, are you going – I mean, I don't think this happened at all. But he makes up
mm-hmm.
stories so that he can respond to make his point,
mm-hmm.
make it look legitimate. Are you going to protect us or whatever? And he says, hell no, and the crowd that's there, if you don't pay your money, and, of course, the point is if you just let NATO go, we're all going to be doomed by that. But he makes up those stories like when he says everybody knows. Okay, nobody named, but everybody knows. That's how he started that whole thing about they asked me if as a member of NATO if I don't pay my dues. That's how he started that question, which was, I'm sure, all arranged. He's a great con person for the people that are easily conned.
Mm-hmm.
Other thing, when you talk about Taylor Swift, I think what he's trying to do, that he's upset that somebody as powerful and wealthy as she is on the other side. And I think he's making an attempt to co-opt her by praising all the stuff he did for her, which is this Niagara of narcissism there, talking about how he
mm-hmm.
made her whatever she is, which is, you know, whatever. So when he's making those comments, I think he's trying to co-opt because, unfortunately, she's not on his side. And the other
mm-hmm.
thing they were talking about, those in office who profit and benefit, which would be Kushner and maybe even Trump, I don't know, but Kushner, I think he violates the emoluments clause, and I don't know the details of how they go about it, but nobody, I don't think, has gone about it to do anything, or whether they can, I don't know, but that would be the emoluments clause, which I'm sure there's a lot of that, and that was the first place that Trump went to when he was elected, was to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, because Doris, the emolument clause, China, it is reported, gave him $6 million, and another country gave him $3 million. You know, so that's breaking an emolument clause, you know. And
well, that's illegal,
that's
right?
Defense.
So why are we not really hearing about that?
Well, because Republicans are not really prosecuting things like that because they're a guy to worship him. And the media, you have to consider who owns the media. The top three families in the country who are right-leaning Republicans. They may not be Trump Republicans, but they're Republicans regardless, you know. So, focusing on that, it's not controversial enough to generate interest. You know,
but it would be the other way around. It would be if a Democrat did that.
They're not about educating the public, what emoluments clause is, what wrong Trump has done, and they want to claim, oh, yeah, there's a liberal media. There's not a liberal media. I mean, the most liberal is probably MSNBC, but we'll see who owns that and everything.
They are liberal.
And the best places,
they've got too many Republicans that are on their broadcasting.
They do, yeah.
And the thing is, if you want real hard news that is totally neutral, C-SPAN and NPR are the two publishing houses in American media that you could get honest facts and totally neutral viewpoints. Everybody else is either left or right. And, you know, we really can't take Fox News seriously because they're not the news organization. They're like the media arm for the Republican Party, basically. You know?
Definitely.
And not again, they may turn against Trump, but in the final analysis, when Trump becomes a nominee, you'll hear them do his biggest bidding again. You know, this is what Fox News does. You know, just for ratings and rile up the base who have no critical thinking and barely educated and anti-union, anti-education, anti-everything. If you're not white, evangelical, born-again Christian, then they don't want to hear from you. You know, so it's a whole dumbing down of America, you know, and Frank Zappa, back in the 1980s, you know, his words came to pass where he said, you know, what we concentrating on in America is the dumbing down of people.
Right.
You know, there's no critical thinking.
No.
You know, and that's why China and other nations are ahead of us in terms of education, in terms of science, in terms of healthcare, because we just, you know, have dumb people, basically. You'd rather be on TikTok doing the latest dance. When you compare our TikTok to China's TikTok has a 7-year-old kid in a science lab making stuff and everything, while our TikTok thing is like, you know, flimsy dressed girls doing this, you know, jig. I mean, that's how dumb America is.
You know what else they do? In the classrooms, they have them do their exercises, the younger ones, like in our, you know, the grade school level, they do exercises at their desk, you know, for about 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And I mean, they move. They don't leave their desks, but they have them doing a regimen of exercises. So, you know, yes, I think China probably has a better system than we do. And the other thing that I wanted to bring up that when, you know, Orange Man was in South Carolina, he also brought up and said, he also made a statement that was outlandish as well. And he said, where is Nikki Haley's husband? Where is he? He's not been around forever. He never goes to anything. Well, first of all, I've not seen his wife go to one thing that he's been to. And two, her husband he's in the service, and he's been gone for the last 8 months. So that's why no one has seen him. And
is appalling for him to even say that when his own wife has never even shown her face at one rally yet.
Mm-hmm.
Not anything at all. And I hear that she's in Japan right now. So,
Wait, hold on. Lori, don't forget what he's saying. Hold on. There's a feedback, and I'm sick of it. Whoever making that feedback, stop it, please. I swear, cut everybody off. This is annoying. Every week, we say the same thing. Turn off background noises. I hear people eating or chewing or putting things in the dishwasher. Stop it, please. Last warning. Whoever it is, stop it. Go ahead, Lori.
I hear it. So anyway, just to go on to say, he, basically, said that about her husband. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know if he knows that he's, deployed. I have no clue. But still, it's none of his damn business. And here's some of the other things that he, so the military, supposedly supports him. And I don't understand why. So right. Here's a few things that I wrote that I remember that he's done when he was president. And just to show that how he views people that are in the military. We all know that he calls soldiers, military soldiers, that, that die in combat are suckers and losers. We know that.
Right.
We all heard that over and over. He canceled, when he was in Paris, he canceled the World War I cemetery visit.
Right.
And he said it was due to bad weather, and his helicopter wouldn't fly there. But that's really funny. It was only because he didn't want his hair messed up, because it was raining. That's the real truth. And the other thing was is that all the other world leaders managed to go there. He was the only one that didn't go. Shame on him. He said also to visit Arlington Cemetery on Veterans Day, that he wasn't going to go because he was extremely busy. He was so busy, because he was working with the affairs of the state.
Mm-hmm.
That's how busy. Another time, he said that visiting troops in other countries is unnecessary. It's overly unnecessary for him to. And then in Florida, he said that the ballots that are received or cast on election day by the military, only if they are there can they cast their ballot. So, in other words, if you are abroad, your ballot does not count if it's not there on that day.
He determined that? He determined that?
Yeah, that's what he asked for. I don't know if he got it. He also, we all remember him criticizing John McCain during the 2016 presidential election, and because he was captured in the Vietnam War, and he was a prisoner, and he was a sucker and a loser as well. That is,
all those proud things remind us that Trump wasn't ever in that, and he got out of going to into war because of a podiatrist and all that kind of stuff. And so it's not even part of his family.
No, he's never stepped foot into anything like that. Absolutely not. And he never would because his family would not allow it. If he had a mole on his toe, they would say it was something that he couldn't walk ever again. So we know that.
But, he said something at that time about going to something about his war would be like a VD, getting a venereal disease or STD. I mean, that would be, the close to a war.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just appalling that this man does not even have any regard for our military and the soldiers that we have around the world that keep us safe and in a democracy that he, of course, doesn't want anymore because he wants to stay out of prison. The only reason he's running for president, we know that. Believe me. He said at one point that, instead of being here on a Saturday, I could be out somewhere having fun and playing golf. First of all, it wasn't Saturday. It was a Sunday that he was there. But I'm just saying, he doesn't care about anything except staying out of prison. That is mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. And we all know that.
And you know, Laurie, you know,
both star parents. He said that the man got up there and spoke. He said, I think because of their religion, she wasn't allowed to say anything because she just sort of stood there.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. which was a an absolute insult to the mother of the young man that perished in the, in the war.
Exactly.
Oh, you mean that Muslim parents?
Yes, the
Muslim
parents.
Yeah.
Muslim parents.
And then the following day, she did give a statement. She said that she just didn't feel that she spoke as well as her husband. And that he said everything that she felt. But she did go to the microphone, and she did give a press conference.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can't wrap my brain around that either, how you can have veterans say that they're for Trump. I absolutely can't wrap my head around that.
Mm-hmm. You know.
He had a bounty. On the troops when they were in Afghanistan. Russia did.
Yeah, I think the reason why some veterans follow Trump is because Trump plays upon their fears and their anxiety. And they say that they worship him. Like, oh, yes, this great rich man. You know, they don't know any better. They're cut from a cloth of the lowest denominator in society. You know, and as Carl Sagan said years ago, I think this was in 1994, you know, he warned us about someone like Donald Trump. And, you know, I'm going to play the 2-minute clip of Carl Sagan describing what America will be like. And his words back in 1994 rings true today. Here it is.
We have a civilization based on science and technology. And we've cleverly arranged things so that almost nobody understands science and technology. Now that is as clear a prescription for disaster as you can imagine. It's a combustible mixture of ignorance and power. But it's another, just speaking personally, another reason why I think popularizing science is important, why I try to do it. And it's a foreboding I have. Maybe ill-placed. An America in my children's generation, or my grandchildren's generation, when all the manufacturing industries have slipped away to other countries, when we're a service and information economy, when awesome technological powers are in the hands of a very few, and no one representing the public interest can even grasp the issues, when the broad population in a democracy, when the people have lost the ability to set their own agendas or even to knowledgeably question those who do set the agendas, when there is no practice in questioning those in authority, when clutching our crystals and religiously consulting our horoscopes, our critical faculties in steep decline, unable to distinguish between what's true and what feels good, we slide almost without notice into superstition and darkness.
So that was scientist Carl Sagan back in 1994, and everything he says back then rings true now. Another clip is a 1.5-minute clip of Frank Zappa describing American culture compared to the world and why we're going to lose it all if we don't shape up. This was back in the early 90s again.
If the Americans, apart from the rest of the cultures in the world, is we're so fucking stupid. The country's been around for a couple hundred years, and we think we're hot shit. And we don't even realize that other countries have thousands of years of history and culture, and they're proud of it. And when we deal on an international level, you know, with foreign policy and stuff like that, and we try and go in as, you know, a big American strong country and all that stuff, They must laugh up their sleeves at us because we are nothing. We are culturally nothing. We mean nothing. We're only interested in the bottom line. You know, every other country has their own art, their own music, their own theater, their own drama, their folk dances, folk songs, folklore, and it means something to them, and they're proud of it, and that's their ethnic heritage. We have Levi's, we have designer jeans, we have hamburgers, we have Coca-Cola, we have REO Speedwagon, we have Journey, we have this one, we have that one, and then we go out there and we say, yeah, but we also have neutron bombs and poison gas, so maybe that makes up for it. I mean, it's really kind of sad when you evaluate it that way. And I think that a country that doesn't do something to sustain its culture, whatever it is, doesn't invest in it, doesn't keep it happening, isn't proud of it, maybe they just shouldn't exist, because it's the culture and the beautiful things that a society produces, those are the things that should survive for thousands of years, not the designer jeans.
Yes, so we heard, yeah, good points made by Carl Sagan about science and education, and Frank Zappa, that second clip was about culture and music, you know, and, you know, teaching the next generation through education.
Well, one thing I think that's beguiling to a lot of Americans is this repeated thing about how exceptional we are, except when you outline what we're exceptional at, it's not always going to turn out so good. And then you can get, like, feeling a little superior and not pay too much attention. And I think that's what, I mean, and the denial of science, look at all that's happening right now of reality. And I have no reason to believe most of those are many of those people, even believe it. But when you deny something, it's sort of an excuse for you to go your own way that you want to go that hasn't been supported, but you lie, just like kids lie. I didn't do that because they didn't want to, you know, have to face up to it. And it's, it's appalling to me how many deny something over and over again. But if I ever have a chance, which I did with one woman who was running for office, to say, well, what do you think about those 60 court cases? They don't really have anything to say. But they really should be pushed, but they usually run away. But she didn't have anything to say. I said, well, maybe you know something I don't know, because she didn't believe the election was, you know, legitimate. But when I asked her, what about that? What do you think about that? She really didn't have an answer. Most of the people don't really stay there to discuss that or a lot of other questions like that. They just run away.
Well, on the election, I've heard some of them give this excuse, and what they're doing is they're repeating Trump. Well, look at the rallies. I had people lined up, and now this is during COVID. I had people lined up, and they were nose to nose and back to back. I had hundreds and thousands of people at my rallies, and Joe Biden had a few cars. But you know, they must have went to that rally and got lucky and didn't get sick. That was during COVID.
And actually, a lot of people died because of what Trump said. He won't be held accountable. But when he says something in the position he's in, a lot of people will accept that he knows what he's doing, which is unfortunate. Either use bleach, or they did things that, or they didn't do things that should have been done. And he's responsible because of what he did. He had the influence. Now, a person with any character, any decency, would feel very bad and wouldn't even say those kinds of things. But he does.
I don't have the article handy right now, but there's an article that everybody in the White House was vaccinated when he was in.
Oh, I'm sure they were. Absolutely.
Including himself.
That's not surprising. He was probably the first
thing
one that got
The thing is, when did America become this dumb? That's my question. Yeah. How did some of us become so stupid and backward and ignorant? It's not even ignorance where you don't have information on the tip of your fingers, but willful ignorance. When did we become this nation?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Time.
Because we have been fed propaganda, David. We've been fed propaganda since the late 80s. And we have been fed it over and over and over. And some of us have spoken out against it, and the people around it had it so good, they looked at us and said, oh, you're crazy, and walked away.
Think what the other countries are thinking right now. Our NATO countries, what are they thinking? My God, what's happened with the United States when they see Trump?
Oh, well, yeah, they know. Believe me.
But, you know, they're trying to tell us, not us that know what's going on. They're trying to tell the whole United States what's going on, and we have an element of the United States that's looking at the people overseas and saying, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. You're full of shit. So, we've just got to keep pushing the truth, because we've had propaganda thrown at us for so many years.
Well, you know, when people say things, they say things, this is what I hear a lot. A lot of times they'll say something like, well, I didn't like so-and-so, but I like his policies. But you got to say, what were those and what about this? You know what I mean? There's no conversation. Doesn't go that far. And the other thing I was thinking of, they don't go that far.
No.
And I forgot the other thing. It slipped my mind, but when I think of it, I'll come back because that was what I want to make a point on.
Because they've been told that the progressives and the liberals were the ones that have destroyed everything. Now, this is fact. Whether we had a Democrat as president or not, we were still ruled by the Republican Party because of the way our government is set up. Canada's in the same boat we are. They can have a progressive leader, but their two houses are the same way. If they have, and they call it liberal and conservative parties over there, and if all the conservatives get in and they've got a liberal person running the country, shit doesn't get done in Canada either.
No. Well, the thing I just remember what I was going to say, some of these people were talking about the right wing, the Trumpers. They might say something like, well, you know, you never know who to believe. And then I say, you know what? You seem pretty sure about something you're just talking about. How'd you get there?
Yeah.
How did you get to the point where you believe? How did you get to the point where you're saying something and they say, well, you don't know who to believe? That's sort of to diminish what you're saying. But I say, well, how did you reach that point? And they kind of don't know what to say.
Yeah. To me, how I interpret this, what's happening in America, is like a great Greek tragedy. I don't know if anybody ever heard about Aeschylus. He's the father of Greek tragedy. And America's playing out like a Greek tragedy now, basically.
Yeah.
It's like the kakistocracy is so overwhelming where, you know, the least educated, the least experienced are leading us. And the ones who really actually can lead are ready to lead. They have been so maligned and they have been so muddled up by propaganda and stupidity in the media. Example, Hillary Clinton, example, Al Gore in 2000, you know, it's just ridiculous, you know. This Republican spin machine, with the help of right-wing media and Fox News especially, after 1996, is just a big dumbing down of America. And I don't think, you know, the only way we can make a comeback is if we'll have what Reagan took out, the fairness doctrine, come back. Because without the fairness doctrine, we're just going to go deeper and deeper in this rabbit hole where there's no return, you know. And the next clip I have is a video asking, why do you support President Donald Trump or former President Trump? It's a 2.5-minute video, so we'll listen to it and then discuss it. You know, what power does Donald Trump have over these people that is so, you know, grab them so much? You know, I can't understand it, but, you know, I guess when you're dumb and not educated and, you know, you go after fear, you know, you play up on people's fear and everything, this is the result you get.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, my name is Catherine Perry. I'm from Jim Thorpe in Pennsylvania, and I'm here to support President Trump on the 100-day mark today. So proud of what he's doing and hoping that he can go forward and keep the rhythm.
I supported him from the beginning just because he is not part of the establishment. He's a guy who's trying to do something better for America.
I support President Trump because he's putting America first.
I don't know.
Because I support America and I support our Constitution, and he's a breath of fresh air. And this day and time, after 8 years of Obama and just the way this country has gone for decades now, I love the message of making America first, closing up our borders, bringing jobs back to this country instead of shipping them overseas, and supporting our country and our economy. And that's just to begin with. And I could go on and on and on.
And I support President Trump because I think it's time we take our country back. It's time we start protecting our borders.
Hey, pause it for a minute. Take our country back. Back from what?
Yeah, right.
Equality.
What?
You know, equality, breaking down of institutional racism, sexism,
right.
Violence against LGBTQ people, immigration reform. Take back America from what? When you ask these idiot right-wingers who support Trump, take America back from what? It's like, oh,
nothing,
you know,
specific.
The liberal policies. What liberal policies? You mean the one that LBJ have with the Great Society programs that FDR saved America from Herbert Hoover and his bullshit would start a trickle-down economics. They didn't have a name for it back then, but we know it today as trickle-down economics. Republicans keep doing the very same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And every time they mess up, is a Democrat who step in and clean a mess. It's been happening since 1932 with FDR, right till Barack Obama and now Joe Biden. So we'll continue with this thing.
It's time that we take our economy back, put more spending power in the hands of the people instead of sending it to Washington.
I'm Gavin, and I support Donald Trump because he takes military action. He knows when to take action. He doesn't do anything himself. He knows a bunch of people that know how to do things, and he doesn't just fully rely on himself. He's willing to cooperate with other people, and he doesn't go into a fight alone without knowing that he's got backup.
And the big thing for the 100-day for me is that we've elected a man who's finally going to stand up against the leftist liberals, the right-leaning sycophants that don't want anything to do with his agenda. They need to get in line. They need to do what he needs done, what the American people need done. We need to make sure that this president is supported. That's why I'm here today.
And I support him because he has all the same values I do. And I hope he gets them done. So,
yeah, which is what?
Yeah. And I definitely support the president. As far as his 100 day mark, I feel he's done a lot. I feel that we need to give him more time. And above all, more appreciation.
Yeah, so basically sticking it to liberals, you know.
Global nothing.
Well, yeah.
They haven't got courage enough to say that they support him because he's a racist and a bigot.
Correct.
And they're a racist and a bigot, that they want to hold anybody that isn't pink or white, you know, that they are superior. They want to hold anybody of any other color down.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't have the courage to say that, did they?
Of course
nope.
not.
Yeah, no.
It's like putting America first. A liberal is somebody that says, you have fallen down, and I'm going to extend my hand, and I'm going to help you up. They don't say the whole sentence, do they? They're just selfish little bastards.
Yep. Like if you told them if they were going to give you a direction, you wouldn't know where to go. It's like we're going to make America great again. Well, or he stand America first. What the hell does that mean? There's nothing specific.
Thank you.
But what you're saying is underneath that is all the negative things, racism, the anti this and the hatred. But it's a global. You don't know what the hell they're saying.
They know what they're saying. They don't say it in a complete sentence. They just use those buzzwords.
because Trump
is cool. Yeah, and this is
I will make you great because you are white.
Right.
Doesn't clarify that. It's very vague. It's just good sounding things, you know. He's done so many things for America. I want to keep him up. I thought, well, what? What are you talking about? You have to keep asking if they'll actually put up with going that far into detail.
One, do they open up their mouth and say he got rid of abortion? That is their number one reason.
The other news outlet, wait, I'm making a point. I'm trying to make a point. Okay, never mind. Go ahead. Continue.
There's somebody else talking. I stopped.
Never mind. I lost my train of thought. As we play a video, but forget it.
It must have been
Lori,
a feedback.
Lori, what next we'll have on the agenda? What we'll have on the agenda? What next?
Let's talk about, I want to get a little deeper into Robert Hur. He was a DOJ special counsel. He's the one that just criticized Biden's memory. And he's an ex-Trump prosecutor, and he's an NFL lawyer.
NFL?
Yeah, NFL lawyer. Mm-hmm.
And he's Republican.
Yes, exactly. So he went on, in his report, he just said the Department of Justice, well, this is a special counsel, Robert Hur, released a scathing report Thursday that President Joe Biden willfully retained classified materials while a private citizen. But Biden's age and alleged memory issues could make it hard to criminally convict him, closing out a year-long probe, 1 year, mind you, 1 year probe for the former prosecutor that ended without charges. Attorney General Merrick Garland appointed her in January of 2023 to oversee the investigation into Biden's handling of the classified documents. Now, when I listened to President Biden the other night, he said that it was his fault that he did not oversee his staff when they took all the documents and put them in his house and in his garage. He regrets the fact that he did not oversee the whole, you know, what they did. He regrets that. And he also, like I said before, he said none of them had any red tape on them, so they were not top secret what he had. And then he also talked about writing a letter to President Obama that was in there and that sort of thing. So I just don't – I have this feeling – that this her guy, this this attorney, this special counsel, Robert Hur, I for some reason think that he was a little biased because
I think
when he back when he was president, so I you know it kind of makes me wonder what his motive was. That's the first thing. The second thing is that, in my opinion, he had no business putting what he thought about Biden's memory. First of all, he is not a doctor. He's not a neurologist. He's none of those things. He's an NFL lawyer and a special counsel for, you know, for, that took over, that took up this case. So why is he saying that the president's memory came into play here? You know, that just raises suspicions, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And it's really sad because, like David mentioned in the beginning, and I think we mentioned this the other day as well when we were on air, that when President Biden came out, they were like a bunch of piranhas, you know. he did not expect that. I don't think President Biden expected to be attacked. And I thought it was sort of vicious in a way. And they talked about his memory and how old he was, and he, you know, he shouldn't be running, and all of this disrespectful crap came out of their mouth. And I truly find it disgusting, because they never say anything about Trump when he rambles and rants and lies on a daily basis about people and the horrible things he says about people. He gets away with it every single day. Why is that? Why is that? It's wrong.
Well, he also said he didn't remember when his son died. I mean, all this it was very gratuitous on their part. It was very, to me, it wasn't like on the side. And the thing is, then how do we explain how Biden got so damn much done in these years if he's so, you know, bamboozled in the brain? And the point is, he is able to, he doesn't have to say, I know it all, I can do it, only I can do it. He works with people. And if you don't do that, if you're going to be the head guy, you aren't going to get a lot accomplished. And a lot did get accomplished under Biden. So whenever you're talking about that, look what he's accomplished. How did that happen?
And the other thing that I don't think a lot of people know is that he was questioned by this Robert Hur for 5 hours, and that was the day after that Israel got attacked. So Israel attacked, I believe it was October 17th,
seven.
I want to say.
No, 7.
Or
7.
Seven. Seven. Yeah. And then President Biden spent 5 hours with him after he probably hadn't slept because of everything that was going on with Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this, and he was questioned by him for 5 hours. So excuse President Biden for being busy, under a lot of pressure, but having a bad memory. I want to punch this guy in the face. That's what
I want
to do.
They didn't have evidence to go forth, but he's got to make it look like he's a bumbling idiot and then say we couldn't go forth. They had to do all this stuff beforehand, which was...
What, didn't Comey do that to Hillary?
Well, he brought up something before about Hillary right before the election, and they're not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
And it didn't go anywhere anyway.
No. No. So,
but, you know, you ladies listen or you watch a lot of TV. I'm sure you do, a lot of newscasts. Did you, any of those kids that were screaming at President Biden, did any of them look familiar? Not a one of them looked familiar to me. Not a one of them.
A couple of them did.
Where did they come from? Where were those little kids? And they were young. They were all very, very young.
Where was that?
I have seen other press conferences, and there's familiar faces. I can't put a name on them, but they are familiar faces. That particular press conference, there wasn't one familiar face.
No.
And Mr. Garland, he needs a very friendly talking to also. He should have read that damn report before he released it.
Mm-hmm.
The hell is the matter with him?
He's gone way out of his way not to have anything be biased, but I think it's overdone.
Well, the report was biased, so he could have went out of his way to make sure that that report wasn't biased.
Yep.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah, you know, Garland has been trying to be on the straight and narrow, but I think he's too straight and too narrow because of how Trump is
straight,
taking
narrow or stupid.
So
the point
I would take a look at that report and I would say there's only one line here that the public needs to know: you are not guilty.
Right. took a lot more pages to write what didn't need to take a lot of pages.
Yeah,
that's Merrigarlet's job, to look over things like that.
Mm-hmm. I think so. right here I have something. It's from Politico, and it sort of talks about what we are talking about right now. And it goes on to say that White House frustration with Garland grows. And President Joe Biden told his aides and outside advisors that Attorney General Merrick Garland did not do enough to rein in special counsel report stating that the president had diminished mental faculties, according to two people close to the president. As White House frustration with the head of the Justice Department grows, the report from special counsel Robert Mueller ultimately cleared Biden of any charges stemming from his handling of the classified documents that were found at Biden's think tank and his home. But Hearst's explanation for not bringing charges, that Biden would have persuaded the jury that he was a forgetful old man, upended the presidential campaign and infuriated the White House. Oh, yeah, I'm still mad about it. Biden and his closest advisors believe Hearst went well beyond his peer view and was gratuitous and misleading in his descriptions, according to those two people, who were granted anonymity to speak freely. And they put the part of the blame on Garland, who they say should have demanded edits to Hearst's report, including around the description of Biden's faltering memory. In White House meetings, aides have questioned why Garland felt the need to appoint a special counsel in the first place, though Biden has publicly said he supported the decision. When Biden himself has not weighed in on Garland's future, most of the president's senior advisors do not believe that the attorney general would remain in his post for a possible second term, according to the two people. And I agree with that. This has been built for a while, said one of the people. No one is happy. Frustration with the White House at Garland has been growing steadily. Last year, Biden privately denounced how long the probe into his son was taking, telling aides and all the outside allies that he believes the stress could send Hunter Biden spiraling back into addiction, according to the same two people. And Elder Biden, said the people said, told those confidants that Garland should not have eventually empowered a special counsel to look into his son, believing that he was caving from outside pressure. You know, and that's all fair to say, because I kind of felt the same way. I felt like they were piranhas going after Hunter Biden.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I saw red meat, and, you know, they wanted to hurt him so they could get to the president. That's all they cared about, nothing else. And that's true. When you have an addiction and you're trying your damnedest to get over an addiction and you have these pressures from the outside and your father is the president of the United States, you don't think that you could have a relapse? Really? Yes, you could. Yes, you could.
You know, all those people have somebody with addictions, if not themselves. And personally, I know that because I grew up without any of that. There's a whole bunch in my family. And I thought, well, I have no reason to not believe if you looked in their closets, you'd see a lot of that. So they have the same things, but they're utilizing it against people they want to go after.
Right. All eyes are on President Biden after last week's damning special counsel allegations about his memory and his disastrous attempt to defend himself in a news conference last Thursday night. The president just wrapped up joint remarks with the King of Jordan moments ago and appeared to go well. The leaders took no questions from the press. So was that an intentional strategy from the Biden camp? For more on analysis, let's bring in News Nation's political editor, Chris Starwell. Chris, thanks so much for being here. This was the first joint news conference that the president has held since the special counsel's report came out.
I want to ask you about something. He took no questions, very carefully choreographed. But I want to bring up something that you wrote in an article out today. You write today that the press conference last Thursday night, the one where it was widely perceived he made mistakes, affirmed what many Americans worry about with Biden, that he's too old. You write, quote, "If Trump is returned to power, there will be many who deserve blame. But very near the top of the list will be Biden and his inner circle, particularly the First Lady, who did not find the courage and the humility to step aside." Explain that.
What's that?
So when George Washington left after his second term, he knew the truth, which was that if the United States could not continue on without him, then it couldn't continue on. If Joe Biden believes that the only way that America can make it, and the only way Donald Trump can be defeated, if it's him, that he is the only one who can do it, that's a tacit admission of defeat, that the country and our politics are sort of irreparably broken. And I think he had a moment. Go ahead.
Do we think there's anybody in his inner circle? And do we think possibly the first one, is anybody trying to convince him maybe we should step aside? Is it too late to step aside? Can another candidate get on the ballot in time? Game that out for me.
Okay, so obviously the right time to have done this would have been after the 2022 midterms to let the full process work its way out and see if the cream rises. We don't know who would be good or bad at this because you never know until they start running. Think of the story of Ron DeSantis, heavily favored, was supposed to be really good, and just went down like a sack of wheat once the running got going. Or conversely, Donald Trump, who nobody gave a chance, and he ran away with it. So you don't know until you go. That's for sure. But what could happen now? Certainly, Biden could step aside at any point and say that he wasn't going to seek another term. Probably the wise course would be to let the primaries run their course, let Biden amass all the delegates, and then on the eve of the convention say, and I don't want the nomination, to be Sherman-esque and say, I do not seek and I will not accept, I will not run, and force his party and the people who are there at the convention to have what used to be common in American politics, an open convention,
yeah,
and start the work of choosing a replacement.
Well, thanks so much for watching. Go to join and...
Yes, so that was Elizabeth Vargas there talking on News Nation about Joe Biden's age. Everybody still here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we have 17 minutes to go. 515-605-9802 is the number to call. Yeah, so go ahead. This bias thing with this guy who's an NFL lawyer, you know, he was appointed by Trump, so I guess they're beholden to Trump because you see on the Supreme Court, Kavanaugh and the two others, Gorsuch and Coney Barrett, they're loyal towards Donald Trump, even though the Supreme Court is supposed to be a neutral, independent entity, you know? So, you know, the chicken's coming home to roost, and this is why elections are important, you know? Mm-hmm. Elections in 2016, when Bernie Sanders didn't get a nomination, a lot of Bernie stayed home, also despite voting for Donald Trump. And say elections have consequences. You vote for Trump or stayed home, and he quote-unquote won. You know, we're not even getting to that. That's why one is in court, you know, and he got a chance to pick three Supreme Court justices while Obama and Democrats played coy with Republicans and the idiot from Kentucky saying, oh, you know, yes, we'll have a gentleman's agreement. Like, oh, it's election year. We'll pick somebody from the Supreme Court. You know, so it's all coming home to roost now. And I wish Democrats would stand up to these idiot Republicans. And, you know, fight fire with fire and blood for blood. This is not politics. And this bullshit, with all due respect to Michelle Obama, where it said, oh, when they go low, we go high. No, those days are done. Since 1980, when Reagan came in, those days are done, with all due respect, Michelle Obama. You know? And Michelle Obama, you're a good person. If you want change to happen, run in your own right. But no, you're standing from sidelines saying, oh, when they go low, we go high. No, have a seat, madam. Have a seat.
Well, when someone comes with a gun, you can't just, you know, blow a whistle or try to – I mean, you don't have to be as crass and low as they are, but you have to really fight.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And, you know, the other thing that bothers me about Garland is that it has taken him so long to bring up the Trump charges, to start all that ball rolling, that's why we're under so much pressure right now and under the wire, because the election is going to be here before we even know it. And,
right.
You know, Trump keeps appealing, like he's going to appeal again to the Supreme Court. He's going to do that again. That's coming up next. We have to wait for this other judgment on the 14th Amendment. That's coming up. So it all takes time. And we are, you know, literally months away from an election. And if this doesn't come all together before that, are people going to still vote for Trump with 91 indictments against him and not know if he's going to be in prison or, you know, have to be in trial while he's supposedly president? I mean, it's bizarre. So I've said this before about I think we drag the seat. I really do. I don't know if that's just my opinion, but that's how I feel.
Well, you know, it's when we think back, Merrick Garland was nominated by Obama to be on the Supreme Court, and that's when they screwed him, and they just didn't even put him up, you know, and then they said, whatever. And so he'd have been on the Supreme Court. We probably wouldn't have the court we have had they not been so horrible about it. Mm-hmm. And then they went and did put somebody up within a month or so after, Ruth Bader Ginsburg died. I mean, they deal in dirty tricks. And when they do that, you just can't try to be, just nice and like petting the kitty or something. But you can be strong without being as low life as they are.
Or be like me. I don't give a damn. You know, stop being pussies, Democrats. Stop being pussies.
Right, right.
Yeah. So Trump supporters explain why they want
I want to bring up something for the working man, the union person. The working, the union men and women of this country, here in Michigan, when the UAW went on strike, Trump held a rally, led everybody to believe that he was going to a shop. He was welcome at this
a union shop.
He was welcome at this shop, and he was a guest. Well, as the campaign filing came out, $200,000 was the total cost for that charade. $20,000 was to rent that factory. Now, I'm kind of curious. I can't seem to find out any information. Is that factory empty?
The factory was not a union place.
I know it's not a union place. I'm getting there. $20,000 to rent that factory. Okay, that was for that night. And then there was posters. And then there was actors and actresses that were brought in to be the rally people.
Pretending they're union members or auto workers.
Charade. They were actors and actresses. Not one of them was a union worker. Not a one.
And
it was
heard
a non-union
ask?
Shop, which people knew it was a non-union shop.
Correct.
But the
so
people
has anybody
there were
asked?
Actors and actresses.
So where are the news people not talking directly to MAGA people to say, what about that? I haven't heard anybody ask.
I don't know. I don't have a computer. I do not have a phone number like I used to call to the news stations and leave a comment. You have no way of leaving a comment anymore unless you have a computer and you do it by email. And that email is a bunch of bullshit because they don't have to answer it.
But a good journalist should be doing it without your asking them to. That's what journalists are supposed to do.
Well, look who owns the journal. Look who owns all the big companies.
Well, there's Richard Engel. He's a pretty good guy. Chris Hedges. There are some people that are known to be really straightforward. And Richard Engel was in Israel. I heard him on the radio. He was in Israel when a settler, which is an Israeli Jew who chooses to be a settler, because not all Israeli Jews would be a settler and push people off the land. He was there in the West Bank when a Jeep came by with uniformed men without names on their thing. There's some kind of military probably. And when this woman was trying to, she was part of kicking this Palestinian family off their land, which has been going on long before Israel was created. People don't know that. But anyway, it's been going on forever. And he was there and he was talking, and I could hear them talking to the woman, why are you here? Richard Engel goes to some very dangerous places to cover stories. Why are you here? And she says, these people, hurt my people. Now, that little Palestinian farmer didn't hurt their people. But I thought it was quite a good thing that Richard Engel did to be there and ask about it. And we could hear them, thinking the way they do, trying to drive this person off. And there's, from the time October 7th till maybe a couple weeks ago, 300 have been killed. But you don't usually hear about that. 300 have been killed, which was a higher rate in that period of time than normal. But it's been going on long, even before Israel was created. But
well,
Richard Engel was
backed up about this, about the filing, the $200,000,
yeah,
for the simple reason that it hasn't gotten the press coverage.
Not
right. Everything can get 100% press coverage. We have a format. And I'm bringing it up so that any of the union people that are listening, this is
mm-hmm.
what happened here in Michigan.
Yep.
This is exactly what happened. If you want to,
yep,
you can look it up. They had to file. They had to file their campaign financing. I don't have
mm-hmm.
a computer.
Right.
I got a phone.
Mm-hmm.
You can look it up on your computer, and it's listed. $20,000 to rent the facility.
Correct.
For the night, and then
mm-hmm.
it was. And then there's money listed for how much was for the signs, how much for the outdoor signs, how much for the signs that they held, and then the people that they hired to come in and go up, bob those signs up and down.
And they said they weren't auto workers and they weren't union members. But you've seen, like, this comedian, this guy who interviews people and asks questions to the MAGA, and they say these really dumb things. Well, that same type of person, him, could do the same thing. What do you think about this situation where it wasn't real and whatever, and there's evidence of that, and just see what they say. I haven't heard anybody ask any MAGA people that we see on TV, but
that
they interview MAGA
out.
People.
I found
yeah.
that last week. The filings
right.
were just made.
Right.
I mean, it's up to us on a lot of things. Not everything can be exposed 100%. It's up to us.
Mm-hmm.
We want
Absolutely.
To win this election. We have got to go out there, and we have got to spread the word.
Yep.
I'm being realistic about it.
Yeah, it's true.
The news
Very
people,
true.
The news people, some of them are doing a darn good job. And the rest
mm-hmm.
of them, they're MAGA people. Well, there's nothing we can do about it right now. Not until
mm-hmm.
we get the fairness doctrine, and not until
oh.
we get rid of this damn dumb electoral college.
Yeah. Does
mm-hmm.
anybody wonder about why none over all these years has there ever been an attempt by Democrats or anyone to bring that back? Because that was back to Reagan. That's a long time ago. I keep thinking, well, what the hell's happened all these years regarding that fairness
yeah,
doctrine?
Democrats.
Like,
Democrats are
yep.
too weak. Because the Stengel Act that would strengthen banking laws, they made it slide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they
yeah.
had the power,
yeah.
and they made it slide. So Democrats don't have any testicular fortitude, nor backbone. You know, they'd rather go help special interests, not Republicans, but to
or enough
degree.
Estrogen or enough estrogen.
yeah.
yeah, you know, it's just ridiculous. You know, that's
right.
why we need
mm-hmm.
money out of politics because, you know, the Stengel Act that would, you know, strengthen
yep.
regulations for
mm-hmm.
banks, Democrats make
mm-hmm.
it slip. Just go on the waistline. The same with the Feingold-McCain Act.
election laws to how to raise money. It just went to hell. Democrats had the power to strengthen it and bring it back, and they turned a back on it. You know, so, and that's the reason why a lot of people are resistant independent or don't vote period. You know,
right.
Because no party will be perfect. No candidate is perfect, but Democrats need to, you know, certain things that should be compulsory and understood. If we are a party that stands for something, then, you know, renew the Stengel Act for banking and the Feingold-McCain bill, you know?
Wasn't that Stengel under Clinton? That wasn't under Clinton?
It
had something to do with that?
Yes, it
going
was.
Away?
It was.
Yeah.
It was. Yes. Yes.
Clinton
was about
not run the whole thing. He did not have the tools to work with. He did his darndest to make sure that the unions weren't completely gutted because he didn't have the House and the Senate that he needed.
I think he had some say.
We've had 60 years of Republicans. If they haven't been president, and even when they were president, they had the House and the Senate. And when a Democrat got aboard, we had a couple years during Obama that we had the Democrats, so you can't get it all done in 2 years.
Right,
and
but I think Clinton did have a role to play there. I'm going to look it up.
Republican
had a majority. Bill Clinton had a majority
had a
for 2 years.
Yeah,
Bill Clinton had a majority for 2 years, and Bill Clinton wanted to appease right-wing Republicans, you know, because he lost. He got a shellacking in the midterm elections. You know, he wanted to please Republicans for some reason. And it's still shit on him with the whole Monica Gate
thing. Otherwise, we couldn't hold him.
Impeachment.
Otherwise, he couldn't be criticized for that. But he was criticized because he, in that situation, as I understand, he did have a difference. And I'll look it up again, but that's my understanding of it. He went that way, and
mm-hmm.
he didn't have to do that. You know, a lot of times you don't have it. But I understand he had it, so I'm going to make myself look it up again because I think he did have an influence there. He could have gone the other way.
Exactly.
On which issue?
As I always say, every damn show, Democrats just refuse to stand up to Republicans. It never fails. It never fails.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that's our show for tonight. We want to thank everybody for calling in. Khalil in Virginia.
Elaine and
God, what's wrong with me? And Dallas.
Elaine's motorcycle.
Yeah. So we'll leave you now with another last clip and everything. Trump supporters explaining why they want him back. This was a more recent interview. And it was News Nation again who asked the question. So we'll wrap up after this.
The name of this rally obviously is Save America. What do you want Trump to save America from?
The communist socialist totalitarian takeover. People coming here illegally.
Our borders have opened up. The gas prices are insane now.
I think America needs to be safe from a lot of things, but I'd say mostly the political correctness, cancel culture, and things like that.
COVID crap. Thank you for waiting. But what's it for? Who's it protecting?
So if Trump doesn't run in 2024, is there anyone else you see yourself supporting?
No, definitely not. Trump all the way, 100% confident.
Who would you see as another good one?
Florida governor.
Of course, there's DeSantis. I would support DeSantis.
I like Candace Owens and probably Ron DeSantis, too.
Number one thing I like about DeSantis is that he believes in freedom for America.
What he's done in Florida. He never shut things down. I mean, you don't have to go down there and worry about a dang thing.
People that want to mandate everything and tell you to stay home, where are they going to vacation? They're going to Florida. They don't even live by their own standards.
The number one person that's standing up for we the people would probably be General Michael Flynn.
Okay, that's our show for tonight. I want to thank everybody for calling in. Remember, kitchenpolitics123.com. We'll have merchandise on sale and more recipes, cooking recipes coming, and more articles. So until Thursday. Today's what? Monday. So we're going to have our next show Thursday night coming up. So I hope you can join us then. Mm-hmm. Same time, same place on Block Talk Radio. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. Good night, everyone. Thank you for calling in, and we'll see you all on Thursday. And if you're not registered, get registered and start talking to people to vote blue, because America's going to be on fire if we don't. Have a good night. See you then.
Good night.
Good night.
My favorite poet was Aeschylus. He once wrote, "Even in our sleep, pain which cannot forget falls drop by drop upon the heart, until in our despair, against our will, comes wisdom through the awful grace of God."
I'm gonna be the man you think I'm missing you. When I go out, yeah, I know I'm gonna be the man who goes along with you. If I get drunk, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who gets drunk next to you.
Thank you. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.